Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord, seeking after you, seeking after your face, Lord. We just want to open our hearts, minds, to just receive whatever you have in store for us, Lord, and we just confess, God, that it is out of a need, Lord, that we are here, Lord. So come, we thank you, Lord, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you all about judging. The reason how this came up is just recently, just through house church, just with the whole LGBT thing, there's a lot about talking about, oh, like the premise of judging. Although I don't want to talk about that, but I want to talk about judging. So generally, when we say the word judge, there's a lot of negativity towards it. Whether it be in church or even outside of church, just, you know, non-Christians, judging is seen pretty negatively. Sorry. And you always hear stuff like, don't judge. Who are you to judge, right? You don't know me. You don't know what's going on in my life. Don't judge. Just love me, right? We hear that a lot. But is that correct, especially as followers of Christ? So if you would, we're going to go to a few verses, but first one we're going to do is Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 6. And then we're going to jump to John. So in Matthew 7, verse 1 to 6, it says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So in this verse that talks about judging, it's saying, don't do it as a hypocrite. Because this is what many of the Pharisees were doing. So, you know, don't, everyone hates hypocrites because, you know, they're being hypocritical. I know I just did that. But this is one of the criteria when you judge. Don't be a hypocrite. So if you're going through that same thing, for example, if you're, I'm trying to think of something not such an extreme thing, like, but say, if you're someone who's working and you lie in the workplace and then you see someone else doing it and you're like, hey, you're a liar, then you're being hypocritical. But oftentimes this verse, as well as the later verse, we use it to say, don't judge at all, right? Like, or else you will be judged. But then in John 7:24, you don't need to turn there because it's really short, but you can turn to John chapter 8 first. In John 7:24, it says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So in this verse, it doesn't just say don't judge because of hypocrisy. It also tells you how to judge, which is with a righteous judgment. So not only is it about not being a hypocrite as you judge, but it's also the way you go about it. So what is your motive? Is it a righteous one? So it's looking at the heart, right? As as you go about it. Finally, we'll turn to John 8, 1-11. So this is where people suddenly say, you can't judge at all. But I'll explain, actually you can. So in John 8, verse 1-11, this is, I'll just read it. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him. And he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. And having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say? They were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go, from now on, sin no more. So in this chapter, or this paragraph, what the Pharisees are trying to do is they're trying to set up Jesus. And it's basically a double trap. You know what that is? It's like when you play Connect Four or Tic-Tac-Toe, and regardless of you go here or here to block, basically you go to the other side and you still lose. So that's what the Pharisees are doing. Because what they're doing is they're bringing this woman who committed adultery, and according to, I guess, Jewish law, Moses law, what they're supposed to do is kill her, stone her to death. But according to Roman law, which the Jews are under, you can't do that. You can't kill someone. So if he goes against his Jewish law, it's like, you know, you aren't a true Jew. And if he kills her, as if he obeys the Jewish law, then it's like, you committed murder and under Roman law. So thus, it was a double trap. So if you go back and you just look at, like, just their Jewish history, if that's a case where if someone commits adultery and they're supposed to be killed, was this a common occurrence? The answer is no. It was probably really rare that someone who was caught in adultery was stoned to death. And the reason being, under Jewish law, you need to have witnesses for everything. So if you do something wrong, or if you accuse someone of lying, stealing, cheating, you know, whatever, you always need a witness. So with adultery, that's kind of a hard thing to be a witness for, right? Because, you know, you don't do it publicly. You don't do public displays of adultery. It's always very private. You're doing it in secret. So therefore, it's very hard to actually enforce and then stone someone to death because of it, because you need a witness. So it's already a little fishy, right? Because it takes two to tango. Where's the guy, right? Why is it just that the woman's here? So, of course, Jesus sees all this. And even as the Pharisees present their case, he doesn't even really acknowledge them. Instead, I mean, no one knows really what happened, but so he like writes something on the ground. And people think, oh, maybe he wrote each person's name and wrote each of their sins. or but I don't know if that happened because it probably would have taken really long. It was it'd be kind of awkward. And then some people think, oh, maybe he wrote maybe a Bible verse to really like bring conviction, right? Because in maybe he wrote something from Exodus 23 verse 1. And he wrote something like, do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Because all of them right now are being unrighteous. Just as that earlier verse that says, if you judge, judge righteously. They are all doing it with an unrighteous motive, right? Because they're not really here to want to be righteous and bring right to the world through this adulterous woman. They're actually just using her to set up Jesus, right? So even their whole motive is messed up. But what does Jesus say? He responds and he says, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. So this is the response that Jesus gives. And this is the one where we are like, do not judge. Only Jesus can, because he is the only one who is not a sinner. True, right? He is not. He's the only one who is complete. So therefore, all of us have sinned, and he said, only the person with who hasn't sinned can basically throw that first stone. If that's the case, then it kind of, what's the point of the earlier verses I shared, right? About, you know, don't be a hypocrite. Don't judge unless you do it righteously. I mean, if that was the standard of being able to judge, which is you have to be completely clean, sin-free, then it's like no one can except for God. So what's with that? So there's some context to it, which is, I think, but also through my research, he's not necessarily saying he who is among you without sin, like in like sin in general, but he's also saying in terms of kind of like the hypocrisy thing, right? If you haven't committed specifically this sin, adultery, then cast the first stone. Because like if the standard was if you haven't sinned at all, why does he say you're supposed to cast the first stone? He just say, oh, if those of you who haven't sinned at all, you can throw a stone. But he's very specific. Like, why does he say the first stone? So again, this goes back to the Jewish law, which is there needs to be a witness always for everything. And they tried to double trap Jesus, but then Jesus like checkmated them. Because what happened is he's saying, okay, you without the first stone, you can throw the first stone. And not only is it like you always need a witness, generally in all these, prosecutions, whoever throws the first stone or first few stones is always the witness as well. So whoever is the witness, you're the one who would cast the first stones. So as he says this, all of them, like, don't do anything. They step out of the circle because they realize the person who will end up like throwing that stone has to be the witness. Thus, it's probably also the perpetrator. So that person is kind of caught in a bind, right? Because number one, he's the witness, so he needs to be there to throw the first stone. But at the same time, he can't throw the first stone because he's the perpetrator, and thus he's guilty. So Jesus, does that make sense? Like what Jesus did there to kind of like checkmate them? Yes? Okay. So Jesus outwits the Pharisees. And he goes on and responds to the woman and tells her basically, I do not condemn you. Go from now on, sin no more. So in the end, Jesus, he still makes a judgment on her, but it is not out of condemnation. And he says to her, sin no more. Still says, hey, don't commit any more adultery. Don't, you know, do stuff like that. So if I were to summarize those three verses, I would have to say you got to first define three things: judging, condemn, and convict. Judging is simply you're just making a decision, right? You based on our Christian standards and our just like experiences, we make a judgment, right? If even something as simple as, oh, I look at David's shoes and they're really nice. So I say, oh, they're really nice. I'm thinking in my head. That's a judgment. Very simple. But however, after we make that judgment, it's how do we respond, or what do we do with it, right? And it can either lead to condemnation or conviction. And what we want to do is lead it to conviction. Condemnation would be where we would, I guess the definition I would use is condemnation would be anything that would bring about guilt and draw people away from God, which is actually the same motive that basically the devil has, right? Is to make you feel terrible, make you feel so guilty that you don't even want to, you can't even go to God because you feel so bad, right? So that would be condemnation. Whereas conviction brings about repentance. And so it's different, because what repentance does, it draws you to God. How people always share repentance, you know, they always say, oh, it's you confess what you did and you promise never to do it again. And you're like, oh, that's so hard, never to do it again. But it's the way, maybe an easier illustration is whatever you were facing, like sin, you're looking away from God. Repenting is you're just simply turning back to God and following his ways. So those are the three definitions, and just as Ricky shared on Sunday about, I guess, accountability and calling people out, the key is it's all out of love. The Bible says the Lord disciplines those who he loves. And in some ways, when you're making a judgment and you're calling people out, as a receiver, we got to receive it in love, but also as a deliverer, that's got to be our motive, right? It's out of love. Unfortunately, oftentimes, if we're to be real, it's not really out of love. It's out of us making us, I don't know, we need to, maybe it's like we're insecure, we need to prove something, so we need to like force it on people. Oh, you know, it could be even very spiritual things like, you're not doing your quiet time, which might be true, right? And you should be doing your quiet time. But what's the reason that you're sharing that? So again, as the deliverer, we need to do it not out of hypocrisy. So you gotta, before you tell someone to do their quiet time, make sure you're doing your quiet time. But that's just one prerequisite. The other is do it righteously. So what's your motive behind it? Is it to make yourself feel better? Is it because maybe, quite honestly, you're feeling so lazy, it's easier to tell people what to do? And even more importantly, is how you do it. I think especially as house church leaders, any leaders, or whether you be talking to your spouses, when you confront them and you make a judgment, what is your objective? Are you trying to bring the conviction or condemnation? And this really speaks to me, because sometimes we're, even for ourselves, especially those who are more blunt and more straightforward, and we just like to tell it as it is and just be like, I'm just being real, this is who I am, you know, just say it. But to be honest, that's pretty selfish, right? Because it's all about me. It's like, oh, this is who I am, so I'm going to just say and cast judgment wherever it is, and I don't care what other people think. This is who God made me to be, right? But if it's not about you and it's about the other person, then maybe even though that is like my natural way of communicating, I should change it because it's not about me. So the delivery is probably the most key part. You know, just to give a practical example, even if someone is doing something, right, it's like, I'm just using David because he's here. David, why are you going to Long Pai Fong all the time? Are you in a funk? And then, of course, with that type of, like, even though it's accurate, David will be like, who are you to judge? You don't know me. You don't know what's going on in my life. And to be honest, even with that kind of approach, I don't know if I'm really trying to love David, right? If it's love, you also want to like walk with the person. So practical would be rather than just make the accusation. I've made the judgment already. You know what? I think David is in a funk. He hasn't been going to church, but it's how I deliver it. So I would go, David, how are you doing? And then I ask him questions. Oh, I've noticed, I've seen on Facebook, you've been tagged in a lot of photos where you're really happy. What's going on? You know, come on, bro. Are you really stressed at work? And I think with that kind of where you're asking and not making a presumption, then at least David, I think the judgment comes when people think you don't know what's going on, right? But if you ask, even if he says like, who are you to judge? Like, you don't know what's going on. And you're like, well, I'm asking you. I'm trying to find out what's going on. And then, you know, hopefully David will feel like loved first and then feel convicted and then he'll repent. So in some ways, the key is what is the fruit that will be born from, like, I guess, this confrontation. So let's pray. And I mean, I want to talk to two groups. The first group, perhaps you're the type who does not like to confront. Just in, especially for Chinese culture or my Chinese culture, it was always don't make a scene, don't confront. If someone's bothering you, don't just like swallow it down. But is that really loving? Especially if it's people you care about, whether it be friends, family. And the secondly is for those who oftentimes will, especially in leadership positions where you will confront, and I feel you that it's not always pleasant. Sometimes you don't want to, you know, call people out, and not just because it's confrontational, but sometimes it's just inconvenient. It takes up a lot of time. But what is driving you? What is your motive? Are you trying to bring about, or really, like, what are you trying to bring out? Are you just trying to condemn them so that they know that they're wrong, so that you feel better? Or is it really to convict? Is it really to love? Is it really to, you know, just as Jesus did, to bring restoration? I always think of Peter after he sinned three times, denied Jesus three times, and he's on the shore with Jesus on the beach, and not once does Jesus actually point out his sin. Not once does he say, are you sorry? Do you know what you did? He doesn't play games and says, if you don't know what you did, I'm not going to tell you. No, he knows. But Jesus has incredible self-worth and security. And what he wants to do is to bring restoration to Peter. So whether it be our spouses, whether it be our friends, our family, are you really trying to bring restoration to them? Yes, God, Lord. Not just to love you, Lord, with all our heart, Lord. You have called us to also love each other, Lord. And it's because of your faithfulness and just your incredible love for us, Lord, that we are able just to continue to sow into other people's lives and really just put ourselves out there, Lord. And Lord, as we make judgments, Lord, and have a desire to be righteous and bring about your righteousness, Lord, I pray that you would give us a Holy Spirit heart check, Lord, as circumstances come up, as things come up, Lord, before we respond, we would just really take a step back and just think, is this loving? Will this bring fruit? Will this bring condemnation, or will it bring conviction, God? And take a step back to just think about the way that we would share with our loved ones, God. Because everyone that we share with, we love, God, and it is out of love, Lord, that we would also bring discipline, Lord, God. Let's go to the slide, and let's pray for those who are people, our family members, our loved ones that are going through cancer as well as chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's restoration. Let's pray for God's strength and God's love to be with the families. Also pray for those who are sick, as well as those loved ones who are also just need to come to know Jesus. Let's pray for their salvation. Next slide. Let's pray for also those who are sick for their full restoration. Pray for those also looking for jobs, that God would open doors for them, that even in this time of no job, that they would still make the most of it and just rest and just really draw near to God. Let's also go to our Thursday topics. Let's first pray for our missions to Cambodia. You can lift up Grace as well as Bloom, that the organization that she's partnered with, as well as the Bloom mission trip that is SP is sending out, as well as pray for Japan and also our missionary P. Sophia. Pray for health and favor as well. Let's lift up intercessory prayer, The Well, our healing ministry, as well as Cascade, our inner healing ministry. Let's pray for God's anointing and protection over the team members. Pray for our educational ministries, Noah's Ark Sunday School, SP Youth, as well as SP University. Let's pray that as these ministries grow, that the volunteers would also grow with it, and just for real love and passion for the teachers as well. Let's pray for tonight's outreaches, SP Lights, as well as Homie Outreach, which is our homeless outreach. Let's pray for real God appointments, as well as favor with the people that these outreach teams are speaking to, and just also opportunities to step out in faith, and also for the discernment of when to do that. Yes, God, this day we just offer it up to you, Lord. Whatever you want to do with it, Lord, let your will be done today, God. And we just pray for your help as well. Sometimes we don't even know what to do. Sometimes we miss what you want to do, Lord. So Holy Spirit, would you just also really try to speak out to us so that we may hear, Lord. Hear your will, God, and that we can just join and partner with you, Lord. Just draw us closer to you this day, Lord. We thank you, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just continue to spend your time with God and have a great day.